This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and diminished our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make a variety of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Vibe Within podcast. I'm your host, Gab Cohen, and today's episode is all about eating disorders and getting through the holidays. Thanksgiving, if you're in the US, Christmas, Hanukkah, all the holidays, New Year's. We kind of just go through our experiences with eating disorders, all kinds, binging, restricting, over-exercising, bulimia. We talk about so many different things, me and my guest, and you're really gonna love her. We talk about different ways we can get through challenging moments of cravings. We talk about sugar and flour and food addiction. We talk about recovery. So you're really going to enjoy this episode because we were really thorough with coming up with a solid game plan for this episode so that we could share with you all of the actual tactical things that we have done to help us through the most challenging times of our eating disorders. So a little bit of a trigger warning. We do talk about, pretty intense things with our eating disorders. Coach Sweeta has a lot of experience with food addiction and sugar addiction, alcoholism, recovery. She is also a certified nutritionist, and she has healed her ulcerative colitis through diet, and she is awesome. So we riff all about how we can get through the holidays and take out your notes, because we really go through a lot of tactical, practical ways and different things that I've learned over the years from listening to podcasts, from recovery, from support groups, all sorts of stuff. So I wanted to share with you guys just my go-to guide, if you will. I hope this episode helps anybody who's struggling. I know this time of year can be really triggering and challenging, but we wanted to make this so that we could help anyone who needs some extra support. And don't be afraid to reach out to us on Instagram. I will put both of our information in the show notes, but you can follow her at primal.kumari. I hope that you guys have an enjoyable holiday season, and we will connect on the other side. Don't forget to take care of yourselves, and again, support is everything. So if you don't have the support you need, really try and get that figured out. Support groups, those are all going to be in the show notes. The links are there. And BetterHelp is always a sponsor of this podcast as well. So if you have not tried online therapy, you can try online therapy with BetterHelp. I've been using them for 2+ years, and 2 million people or more are actually using BetterHelp right now. Online counseling is the way to go, especially if you have anxiety about going to an office and sitting down and being in front of a therapist. You don't have to do that anymore. You can use the audio version where it's just a phone call therapy session, or you can do video, or you can just do messaging back and forth. It's really up to you. I do video and I do EMDR with my therapist. She's amazing. We're doing EMDR for all sorts of things, trauma, OCD, depression. I'm also going through a really hard time right now with my cat. So, you know, therapy is my focal point of my sanity. It keeps me sane. It keeps me going, knowing that I have an appointment once every week and that I can message my therapist at any time. I message her all the time. She knows what's going on day in, day out, and I get her support through the messaging system, kind of like texting your best friend. You know, my therapist is there for me for whatever I'm going through. So you can go to betterhelp.com/vibe for 10% off of your first month of online counseling. Everybody who's done this has reached out to me and said that they love it so far and it's helped them so much. And you can find the perfect therapist for you based on your needs. So whatever you need, whatever kind of trauma you're going through, whether it's eating disorders or alcohol abuse or family dynamics and trauma in that sense, or relationship issues, whatever it is, you can find the perfect therapist that specializes in that. And if you need to change your therapist, you can change your therapist as many times as you need. And that has really helped me over the years. I've changed my therapist a couple times, and now I finally found, I think, the best therapist for me. So again, that is betterhelp.com/vibe for 10% off your first month of online counseling. BetterHelp, HELP.com/vibe. All right, enjoy this episode.
Hi, Gab. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing okay. We are going to talk about something that is near and dear to our hearts today, which is eating disorders and getting through the holiday season. So we've got Thanksgiving, we've got Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, all those holidays coming up. So we figured that we were going to talk about some things that we've gone through in our lives when it comes to the variety of eating disorders that we've gone through, and some tools and ways to get through those challenges. And we want to talk about, you know, restriction. We want to talk about binging. We want to talk about sugar cravings, food addiction, and all the gray areas that comes with that. So let's just dive right in. Honestly, I'd love to hear where are you at right now? And what is an experience that you got through? I guess let's start with that. What's an experience that you got through during a holiday season? You were kind of in the thick of your eating disorder. You can paint the picture for us and, you know, what got you through that?
Yeah, definitely. So holidays for me, I think from as like starting from a little girl started with Halloween. So it was like, once Halloween was coming, it was like all of that sugar, the candy. I get this rush, this feeling knowing that my substance was going to be plentiful and that it was like the time of year where it was all about just like, that's where it started for me. Not even Thanksgiving. It started there. And then I would, you know, I mean, it was just this constant cycle of eating and then the next day wanting to start this diet and then going through using validation for, well, it's October and it's going to be November, so I might as well just wait till January 1st. And I would just full on restrict and binge. And once I would start with the sugar, I couldn't stop. So I didn't know what I was capable of. Just to kind of give you an idea before I went into recovery, that's kind of what it was like. I mean, I've blacked out on sugar before, literally completely blacked out. I don't care who's in my way. I will create fights with my family. And then like the next day I would get angry that they would have these leftover foods in the house, pies, cookies, whatever they were, over the holiday season. And I would literally start a fight, like, don't you know what it's like for me? I'm going to eat all of that. And I, like, they would be walking on eggshells. And so just the holiday season was not pleasant with me. And then I went into recovery for alcoholism in 2007. And then from there, I started to see that I had this binge eating and sugar addiction. When once I started, I could not stop. I literally would go out with my friends. And then once it was, I remember a very specific time I would go out. This was in November, so right around Thanksgiving time, I was going out with my friends and I was in one of those cycles of my holiday. Like, don't get me wrong, this type of cycle is something that I would go through all year long, but around the holidays, it was the worst. And all of my friends, they were going off to the movies, but I secretly, I was feeling really like fat, quote unquote, in my body. And I wasn't at that time overweight or anything like that. I just felt that way. And so I was in this sort of screw up mentality. They were all going to the movies. I went to the gas station to fill up on all of my my sugar substances, my drug of choice, which was like all the stuff you find in the 7-Eleven at the gas station. This is when I lived in California. They all pulled up. Yep. And I was so embarrassed. I had bags of just all kinds of like honey rolls and candy and everything you could, and then the salty stuff and the sweet stuff. And I got in the car and I was mortified that they had seen me. So just to give you kind of a picture of what that was like. And then it just consistently was like that. I would hide, I would isolate, I wouldn't do things. And then I would take food to the room, I would hide it under the bed. And, you know, and then I would try to drink to get it all up, which never actually worked for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I would use the alcohol to try to help me get it out of my body. And so, so fast forward to the, like, I went into recovery and I remember my first holiday having put down sugar for good. And even when I went into recovery in 2009, I didn't actually put down sugar. And for me, also carbohydrates have the same sort of effect on me. Sweet potatoes, like these types of things that are considered health foods, for some reason, once I start that, I don't know, it turns into glucose in my system anyway. I can't stop. Yep. So I remember,
I actually want to talk about that.
Yeah.
In a little bit, we'll talk about the healthy food too, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah. The healthy foods are the ones now where I have to be more careful with than the, like I put the sugar and flour down. So I remember in 2011, I was like, all right, you know what? This is just how it is for me. Like and I don't know what happened, but I hit such a bottom that someday in March of 2011, I literally put down like refined sugar, cakes, cookies, all of that kind of stuff. And I have not had any of that stuff since 2011.
What made you do that? What, like, how did you figure out like, okay, I'm going to go cold turkey. Like, what did you hear? What, how did you get to that conclusion that you're like, okay, I'm done sugar and flour?
So I had tried everything. I feel like I went into different, I mean, I was in lockdown facilities. I had literally tried, I think that I hit a bottom. Like, I really believe that I hit some sort of bottom and I had a quote unquote awakening of some sort that like, and so I went into recovery in 2000, that month. I remember I found this group and I went there and it was a recovery room. So a 12-step program. I went there and I literally cussed everybody out at the table. And I was like, you know what? Screw all of you people sitting here in your perfect bodies and your perfect lives and you're not eating your cookies and you're not eating your cake and you're going on. This was right around the holidays too, actually. No, it was March. March, so it was after the holidays. So I must have just come out of my February. So it goes to February for me. It starts in October and my holiday season ends at February because we have Valentine's Day. And so it was March and I was like, this is it. Like, this is the body I'm going to be in. And I was at the time, I was binging so much. I was heavier than I am now. And well, much heavier. And I don't know what happened that day, but I feel like that was the last house on the block for me to enter in a room like that. It was just like so mortifying to be like going to that type of place. Like, here I am, one of these people, really? And I don't know what happened, but from that point on, I was like, okay, I'm just going to do and take suggestions from people. I'm just going to go back into therapy. And I slowly started to, and you have to remember too, like I came into recovery in 2009. So I already made a lot of changes in my life around food. It was just, I was having these sugar binges every now and then that I couldn't stop having. So in 2009, when I started to understand that I had a problem with sugar and flour, I would have these bouts, long periods of time on like a low carbohydrate diet where I was able to, maintain with having a network of people, therapists, people from, you know, recovery rooms, people in my life that I had as a support system. But then once I felt like I was in a thin body or I was thinner, I would just leave and I would binge. And I used therapy and recovery as sort of a way to lose weight. And I wasn't healing the root cause, which was so much more. And so then in 2011, I think I just had hit a place of being in recovery, but then having these binge cycles come through, especially around the holidays, and then falling off the wagon. Because to me, it is a relapse. If I eat sugar, it feels like a relapse. It 100% feels just like if I had drank alcohol for me. Yeah. And so I had some sort of awakening. Like, I just decided from that day on, I was going to take suggestions and I was not going to make it about the weight anymore. And so with that planted in my mind, and I just kept having these mantras that I was like, all you have to do from the neck down doesn't belong to you anymore. It is, you have to turn all of that over to a higher power or to a higher self or whatever you want to call it, God. I had to completely remove myself literally from my body. And I took directions where some people are like, okay, when you're coming out of the shower, we have to change these behaviors that you're having, where I would look in the mirror and I would pinch my body literally and be like, I hate this and I hate that. And I would, and till this day, I don't pinch areas of my body. I try to look at my body as a temple. And don't get me wrong, there are days, especially more recently, where I've kind of found myself back at looking like, well, what happened? And we'll get into extreme dieting and my experience with that. But anyway, so my first holiday, what I did was I had and I still do this till today. Every holiday, I have a network of people that I stay very close to. And, but my very first holiday, that was 2011. And then, that winter, coming up in 2011, I guess, 2011, 2012, I started to make things that I could have on the holidays while everybody else was having something else. So for me at the time, it looked like, you know, I can't eat dates and things like that anymore, but I would find what I called, safe foods that made me feel like I fit in with everybody else when everybody else was eating the foods that would destroy me. And so I would have that and I would feel happy knowing that I had something, and I wouldn't wake up the next morning feeling that hungover feeling in my stomach and all of the things that came along with eating those types of highly palatable holiday foods. And so I guess it was more like a paleo style, like with the dates. And I did that whole thing for a while, and then that stopped working for me. And then the next holiday was the biggest one for me, which was 2012. I was going to my husband's family's house for the very first time. And I remember I had, at the time, I had my friend Tamika, and I had, what was her name? Oh gosh, how could I forget?
So you basically have to figure out what foods are your trigger foods.
Yep.
And find your safe foods that are going to make you feel like, okay, I'm not restricting myself because these foods I enjoy. And you have to also, what I'm getting from your story is you have to know your why. Because first you said, you know, recovery was to lose weight. And I'm guilty of that too, because I don't know if I'm going to get into my story yet, because you don't seem like you're finished, but I just wanted to say that what you're saying about the foods, we need to know our safe foods, we need to know our trigger foods, and we need to structure a plan so that we know what our limits are and what our boundaries are. We're not telling you guys that you have to all go sugar and flour free. You just need to know your red, yellow light, and green light foods. And there's also this thing that I heard from a podcast, the four W's, when you're about to eat or when you're having a craving: drink some water, ask yourself why, wait, and or walk. So if you're having a craving and you're like, wow, this feels like a really intense craving and this is not me, this is just temptation, you can do the four W's. And then there's also HALT, which is hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And I like to add in anxious too, because if you're any of those things, food is the easiest tool to grab to stuff down any of that. Angry, lonely, tired, anxious. If you're actually hungry, what I've heard in the carnivore space and the keto space, but mostly carnivore space, is, okay, if you're hungry, can you eat some hard-boiled eggs? Can you eat some steak? Can you eat some ground beef? Can you eat some, you know, carnivore foods? And if you're not hungry for that, then you might not actually be hungry for food at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are all, like, hungry, hangry, lonely, tired is one that I use all the time. I also will, like, I'll have like my safe person on my phone who, if I feel like I'm going to have a craving or something like that, I can text them. I make sure that on those specific days of the holidays, I'm on the phone with somebody that is going through the same thing, like someone like me, that has these eating disorder past and all of that. Like, I make sure that on that day, I'm on the phone with them for at least 5 to 10 minutes, whether we do a meditation together or we say a quick prayer together, or we just like commit to each other what our day is going to be like with our food plans. I have a food plan in place. So this year, coming into the holidays, which we already started our holidays here with, I'm from Nepal. So in October, it all started already. And I have things that I make, like you said, that are on my green light. Actually, these are yellow light foods for me that I put boundaries around. So I plan out that during the times where I know I'm going to have a difficult time, I might have a craving or something, that I have specific foods that I can eat. I make sure that wherever I'm going for the holidays, that I bring things for myself also to make, while my sister-in-laws are making all of their fancy gourmet pastries and whatnot, and they're all in the kitchen as well. I have the thing that I'm making, and I get to also be in the kitchen with them and laugh with them and have a good time. So I set myself up with boundaries around the foods, but also in a way that I can insert myself so I feel included, because a lot of times my disease makes me feel isolated. I'm so different. Yeah. I have this, blah, blah, blah. So I really plan for myself to, you know, have a nice time. And what is that going to look like for me to feel safe in my food? Yeah. And, I'm sure we'll get into what people's comments are, but yeah, you know, for the most part, like, I'm planning for that. And now it's been multiple years. So I've been doing this since 2012, since the very first time I went to a holiday with the person that I did, was like, how is this person going to marry me when he finds out I don't eat cookies? And yeah, I had at that
time. It's like, it's your new normal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it feels safe. And eventually, the first time you do it and you're like, oh, I thought my husband would never marry me when he found out that I didn't drink and eat sugar.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was fine with it. I didn't even have cake on my wedding day. I was like, I'm not going to ruin my wedding day with a piece of cake.
I love that.
Yeah. So,
like what you're saying is, very true with you, like having a set up plan for, you said connection, you know, reaching out to people, you said safety. I want to say there, you know, we all know, we've all heard this before, is that the opposite of addiction is connection. The opposite of food addiction is true connection. I feel like you really need true connection for food addiction, because none of that fake connection stuff is going to work. Loneliness and isolation triggers my eating disorder personally. And we will self-sabotage, you know, ourselves into, you know, eating things that we know doesn't work with our bodies and will flare us up, like sugar, flour, anything that disrupts our gut. You know, for me, I did that cycle for years, restricting, binging. In high school, I was anorexic and I was, you know, put into a hospital for that. But then once I got into college, and even a little bit at the end of high school, drinking, that definitely triggered my binge eating. So drinking is kind of like the gateway for binge eating. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. But when your mind is inhibited with alcohol, you are not aware of things, and your choices and your mental clarity goes out the window. And for me, when I was in college and living in LA, when I was in my early 20s, that's when my binging got really, really bad. And I was partying, and I was, even though I ate healthy still, I was my heaviest weight I'd ever been. So I was eating, you know, vegetarian, vegan. And so anybody would label that as healthy. And I was never like into like junk food, really. Like, yeah, I would eat things like chips and guac and like stuff like that. But like, even though I ate semi-healthy, I still blew up, and my body was always swollen, always inflamed. And that's what happens when we binge and purge, and it really shocks the body and puts so much stress on the body. So no matter how much we work out or restrict or make up for the binge, our bodies are in constant stress and cortisol. And when I look back to one of the parts of my life with how my eating disorder was, this is when I was living in LA, and I had become bulimic, and I was, you know, eating healthy, binging at night on healthy vegetarian and vegan foods, purging. And I was also like doing hot yoga. I was doing cardio every day at the gym. I was doing the sauna almost every day. So I had like purging bulimia and exercise bulimia, so they call it, via sweat and cardio and hot yoga. And this was a very, very dark time in my life, because I felt so in the trenches and out of control. And even if I wanted to stop the binging and purging cycle, I didn't know how, because I was never hungry during the day. So the purging definitely lasted several years into my late 20s. And I remember when I really was like, I got to get out of this, I was actually living in Philly in 2019. So this isn't that long ago, maybe 3 years ago. And this was the height of my bulimia, and my skin was a mess. I had acne all over my face. I was swollen all the time. I was teaching yoga, again, still sauna, cardio, binging on vegan food, because now I was vegan. And I just remember reaching out to one of my friends, and he said, why don't you try to go to like a Dharma recovery meeting, which is, it's a 12-step spiritual based recovery meeting, kind of like AA, kind of like NA, but it's more meditation based. So you go, you sit in a circle. It was a lot of like old biker dudes that were in there, and I was in Philly, so it was pretty gritty, if you can imagine. And a lot of drug addicts. So I was the only one with an eating disorder there, but they were so welcoming. I mean, I felt like I met like family, and it was a lot of older men, which was a very healing energy, like just to be in that circle and for them to just like be accepting. Like, I was like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm crazy. This girl with an eating disorder coming in, and like, you go around and you say, hi, my name's Gab and I have an eating disorder. And they're like, okay, Like, they don't fucking care. So yeah, that actually was what I needed to start connecting with people in a real way and start talking about things and start getting into meditation, like, deeply, and start talking about what we're going through and hearing other people's stories. And I went there every Friday night. Now, granted, I was still in the workout sauna cycle, so I would do that, get ready at the gym, and then go to this meeting. But I still stuck to it. And I started to realize that I needed to stop, like, the bulimia, the purging. So, you know, for me, it wasn't a cold turkey thing. It wasn't like, okay, I'm stopping purging, because that's not realistic for a lot of people. So for me, it was like, okay, I need to lessen the amount of times I'm purging a week. And I mean, throwing up. So I stopped, you know, I stopped the binging as I tried to lower it down. So I got to like, okay, I'm purging 4 times a week. And then I tried to really have these structured rules for myself when it came to my food at night, because I knew, okay, if you eat this amount or this food, your stomach blows up. And that is what triggers me to want to go purge. So how can I set myself up so that doesn't happen? Okay, well, what foods make my stomach blow up like this? All the raw vegetables, all the raw stuff, smoothies. So I really had to just be real with myself and the volume as well. Okay, when I eat this amount of this, that's not good. If I can just lower it a little bit and change what you're eating, because if you're doing the same thing every day and you're eating the same things every day, expecting different results, that's going to make you feel crazy. And I was stuck in that cycle every day. So I started decreasing my caffeine intake. Noticed that really helped. I just really started to focus on gut health. And before you know it, I was at this point where I was only purging twice a week. And for me, that's success. And so when I'm in these recovery meetings and online and these eating disorder forums and stuff, I try to tell people that it's not about doing it cold turkey. It's about tapering yourself off, because you have to be real with yourself and set realistic goals. And if you can slowly work your way into this place where you can find your happy medium, then that's going to work out a lot better for you than putting this unrealistic pressure to never binge again. So for me, like, getting out of that, just kind of ripping off the band-aid in any way that you can and making a change, any change, small change. Small changes build up over time. So if you start changing one habit and you start rolling with that and you say, wow, I haven't, you know, binged on that particular food in a week. Now what can I do? Because you have to prove to yourself that you can actually feel better. Because for me, it's like, I didn't even know what feeling good felt like. So that's why I kept binging and restricting and purging, because I didn't have anything to base it off of. I was like, well, I just feel like shit. So I'm never going to feel good.
Real quick, I want to talk to you guys about my sponsor for this podcast, Keto Chow.
Okay, so it's been almost a year since I've been doing keto, and I've been feeling so much better since lowering my carbs. But that doesn't mean that I don't enjoy little treats now and then, and I still really enjoy my keto dessert treats. And that is why I'm really excited to be partnering up with Keto Chow. Keto Chow was created to make healthy eating a little bit easier and more sustainable. And what they do is they have these amazing milkshake packets that you can make smoothies with, you can bake with them. There are tons of actually recipes on YouTube, actually. A lot of people in the carnivore and keto space use keto chow in a lot of their recipes. I've seen breads made with them, cinnamon buns, cookies, muffins, cakes. I mean, it's like the options are endless. But you can also just make regular smoothies with them, and they have 1/3 of your daily vitamins and nutrients in every serving, and it tastes like a dessert milkshake, but it's low carb. And, you know, it's hard to find products that are actually healthy, even though they're labeled keto. Some of these keto products are not that healthy for you. They're filled with like oxalates and almonds and all sorts of weird fillers. So keto chow really limits the amount of ingredients they put in their mixes, and people like Ken Berry and Nisha Berry and people like Amy Carnivore's Angel, all these people use keto chow, and they really love the way that keto chow has put together their products as clean as possible with very little additives and sweeteners. And the flavors are amazing. I mean, they have eggnog, they have all sorts of holiday flavors. Eggnog, snickerdoodle, gingerbread, pumpkin spice, caramel macchiato. They've got like mint chocolate chip, vanilla, chocolate. What else? Did I say snickerdoodle? they have so many flavors, and I really have been enjoying trying them out because I am starting to incorporate dairy back into my regime, but very slowly and articulately. So keto chow has 30 plus flavors. It's super easy to make into whatever quick meal, whether it's a smoothie or a baked good. So whether you're new to keto or you've been keto for a while, keto chow can bring all the essential nutrients and vitamins that you need in a really fun and healthy way. And don't forget to check out their Black Friday deals. You can use the code VIBE on the website, and they're going to have a really awesome Black Friday sale. Another thing I forgot to mention is that they have electrolyte drops, and they have these amazing magnesium and fasting drops as well that don't have any sweeteners in them, no sugars. They have all of your essential electrolyte needs in there, and they also have a mineral solution as well that you can put in your water. It doesn't taste like anything, and it's really easy to get all of your essential minerals in, especially if you're doing keto. You might have experienced the keto flu or losing water out of your body, which can really take a toll on our well-being. It can manifest in headaches and all sorts of fatigue. So check those out as well. I've been really loving those mineral drops and the electrolyte drops. So go ahead to Keto Chow's website, and you can also find them on Instagram, and use the code VIBE at checkout, and you'll get a little discount for whatever you're buying. So happy holidays, and don't forget, their Black Friday sale is going to be awesome. Check out their website.
All the links are in the show notes.
And for me, like, binging behavior hacks is something that I'd love for us to kind of maybe go through, because for me, I needed to start asking myself, like, am I willing to sabotage my body to the point where I can't function the next or the next hour? Or am I willing to make myself so sick that I'm going to be physically uncomfortable? You have to really like weigh out the pros and the cons of eating a certain food and certain quantity of food. And something that a lot of people will get stuck in is that falling off the wagon. Well, here I go. I'm just going to start eating everything. So say you have a cookie and a piece of cake. Okay. So that's, you know, maybe 1,000 calories. You could just leave it at that and say, okay, I enjoyed that. And guess what? There's food that I can eat tomorrow too. And there's food I can eat later. Food is always going to be there. I think that's part of my problem, is that I had that scarcity anorexia mindset where I didn't know if I was actually going to eat later because of all the starving myself I did. And even when you're stuck in the binging and restriction cycle. You don't know when you're going to eat because your eating disorder is running the show. So you might eat a lot of extra food because you're like, well, I don't know what I'm going to eat next. Mm-hmm. But if you kind of can shift out of that and say, look, I can have a snack later. This is what I'm going to have. Just like you said, having a plan with what food is better than eating 10 cookies and being at 9,000 calories, because that's going to hurt your body physically. So I don't know, what are some binging behavior hacks that have helped you, or mindset shifts, or actual like things that you do that we can offer people?
Yeah. A lot of what you said is that perspective change in your mind. So I'm one of those, like, I 100% believe in neuroplasticity. And so just in that moment, and I have, so like, when I put the sugar down, that doesn't mean I didn't binge again. I found honey and I replaced all of these other things that I now know. Like, so little by little, I learned like honey was no longer something that I could have. I would binge on that. And so, it was a process to get to where I am today. I always say inch by inch is a cinch, yard by yard is hard. So little things. So like you said, like, okay, all right. So a couple years ago, I was eating these protein bars. And they gave me this like feeling like of wanting more. And I remember I was getting ready to eat like 3 or 4 of them. And so I had one, but I knew I was going to go for the whole box. That sort of fuck it mentality was coming in. I'm just going to start tomorrow. I'll just eat the box. Who gives a shit? All the validating why. And instead, what I did was I decided to go outside. And I asked myself, am I hungry? Am I lonely? Am I tired? And it was a miracle that I was able to do that. So like, I always tell people, it's like the first time the seed is planted, like you're hearing us give all of these suggestions, like the first time the seed is planted, and then the second time, and you might keep doing that behavior for 3 or 4 times, 5 times, but it's going to get so painful that 6th time you might decide to actually go for a walk, you know? So sometimes it just starts with like, just acknowledging that you know that there's a solution, and you still might have the binge and you still might say, fuck it. But the fact that you acknowledge that there is a solution and that you brought that into your awareness, the next time you might say, you know what, it's just one protein bar. Let me try calling someone. So typically what I'll do is, again, I have a network of people that I, you know, it's like the same thing when your friend's like, don't text your boyfriend, text me instead, you know, like have a friend, your best friend, someone, anyone in your life. And I'll pick up the phone. I'll be like, hey, I'm feeling like this right now. And by the time I'm done with that conversation, or I'll distract myself with something else that's not food that I love, like Netflix, I'll like go and like be like, okay, watch a Netflix show. Or I'll say, okay, go fold the laundry. And if you still feel like eating the box, once you're done with the laundry, eat the box. But by the time I'm done with the laundry, I don't like, it passes. It's like everything else in nature comes in waves. And so do our emotions. It'll ebb and it'll flow.
Delay. There's a book called Delay, Don't Deny by, I forget the name, but, that's what the book premise is about, exactly what you just said. Delay your binge craving for an hour or for 15 minutes. Say, okay, I can binge tomorrow. You know, if I want to binge tomorrow, I can binge tomorrow. But guess what? Mm-hmm. After you've gotten 2 or 3 days under your belt of no binging, you start to realize how much better you can feel. And then that inspires you to say, I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to feel bad. I want to eat foods that make me feel good. I don't want to feel out of control. Okay, I got 3 days. I feel like I have a little bit more control over my choices. And that snowballs, you know?
And the trust, the body, like what happened to me is my body started trusting. My mind started trusting. And then what was happening was I wasn't feeding the same thought down the same nerve over and over again. I was now jumping to this new idea that was given to me from whoever else, whoever else, people in my life that may have said it. And then eventually what happens is when we go to those old thoughts, what we do is we change the thought immediately. And eventually what happens, and this is neuroplasticity in its finest, is that nerve dies. It literally dies. You have a new way of thinking and being. And that is exactly what has happened to me, because I was a night binge eater. I don't eat, like, I'm all into circadian rhythm. I typically don't eat. And I mean, it's very loose. It's not like so structured, but for me on a weekday, when I'm in my structure in my daily living, I typically don't eat after sunset. And that's just gives my body the time to rest that I need for my gut to rest with ulcerative colitis and all of these things I know about myself. But again, on the weekends, I go out, I'm having an amazing dinner with my friends this weekend. That doesn't go till 7:30. And so you have to have some, like for me, I have to have some looseness around my structure too, because I have to live my life and I want freedom too. I'm not going to just not go out on this, you know, date night with everybody because I don't eat past sunset. You know what I mean? Like it's
right.
So having like flexibility and, you know, and we can get into so much about flexibility and what's going on in these, you know, in the diet culture of with people being so strict and so restrictive. And I feel like for freedom and trust, I need to have flexibility, freedom in my body and trust for my body and feeling safe. And like, I can actually venture out into the world around food, because this doesn't happen for me anywhere else but food. I have to have flexibility. And so building in what is true for you and being honest with yourself, like you said, what are these foods that bother me? And, you know, don't be afraid to say, hey, you know what, can we go to this restaurant? And when people say, hey, what restaurant do you want to say a restaurant? Look at the menu ahead of time, like see what you can do to make yourself feel safe and comfortable when you get there.
And so yeah, flexibility. Sure. There's people who are abstainers and moderators. And then there are some people, sometimes I feel like I'm sometimes in the middle, because not with sugar and flour, but there are some foods that people would say, oh, if I had that, I would just never be able to moderate that. And I'm like, huh, that's it. That's interesting, because I can have sweet tastes. I can have sweet tastes. Mm-hmm. I can have sugar-free pudding. Mm-hmm. I can do artificial sweeteners. Mm-hmm. And there's some people in the communities mm-hmm. that will say, oh my God, no, that's a sweet taste. How dare you? Mm-hmm. You cannot.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, well, guess what? That doesn't feel good for me, because I come from a very restrictive mm-hmm. mentality and eating disorder. So if I were to tell myself no sweet tastes, no stevia, no artificial sweeteners, I mean, I would have nothing left. And for me, I don't really have to outweigh the pros and cons. Like, is it worth it? I've cut out so many things at this point because of my autoimmune issues, because of my stomach issues, thyroid issues, that it's like, okay, what am I willing to have that's unhealthy? And what am I willing to not have anymore?
Yeah.
Well, I cut out a lot of the vegetables that were causing gut mm-hmm. dysbiosis and all this crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
I cut out a lot of the vegan stuff mm-hmm. and I added in a lot of animal foods like meats. So I think it's about swapping and knowing, like, because there's some people who would say, well, if I had a sweet taste or if I had any of that stuff, then that would flare me up. And I'm like, okay, well, then that's not for you. Like, mm-hmm. you can't put things that feel poisonous in your body. And I have this thing written down, like when I was in like all of the anorexia stuff when I was in high school, there were these pro anorexia forums that were so toxic. And I'm sure people who are listening have heard, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels, right? That is like the most toxic thing anybody could say. And I was thinking about that in the mentality where I'm at right now. Nothing for me right now, no food tastes or is worth it if that's going to make me not feel good. So it's nothing tastes as good as feeling good feels, if that makes sense. It's not about being skinny anymore. It's about feeling good. I want to be able to wake up and function and go for a walk and not feel like there's cement in my joints. I want to wake up and I want my stomach to be, you know, like not bloated. I want to have normal bowel movements. I want to have clear skin. And that all happens from eating the foods that work with my body. So I had to create a list. And I actually think writing out a physical list like this can help people if they're in that binging zone. List out all of the things that binging makes you feel like shit. You know, for me, seeing this list of all the things that binging does to me physically and emotionally, I have digestion issues, fatigue, swelling and weight gain, depression and anxiety, mood issues and panic attacks, on the toilet all day long, can't enjoy the next day, shame and guilt, migraines and autoimmune symptoms. I mean, none of that is worth eating a cookie, a piece of cake. And guess what? Just like you said, you can find different variations of that on Pinterest. There's tons of keto and carnivore and gluten-free and sugar-free and flour-free. I mean, the options are endless at this point.
Yeah.
Be creative, have fun with it. Go get your ingredients and do something new and make something new and be excited that you're not going to feel like shit this time. Because you're not going to eat stuff that makes you feel like shit. So it's that excitement that can kind of like get you out of that too. It's like, okay, well, I don't want to feel like that. How do I want to feel? And write a list of all the ways that you want to feel, you know? Bulimia for me was the trigger for a lot of health issues. I mean, all the purging and even the non-purging part of bulimia, caused me to have low stomach acid, which I couldn't digest food. So doing that as well, writing a list of like actual things that can happen from purging and from binging, because binging puts a stressor on your glucose levels. Mm-hmm. It can spike your insulin. It can wreak havoc in your body. And this isn't, I'm not trying to like tell people like, don't binge. If you do, then get back, move forward. There's nothing you can do about it, but also you can have different self-care tactics and like rituals that you can do as self-care post binge. Mm-hmm. Like take a hot shower, take a cold shower, go for a walk, drink some lemon tea, ginger, something mm-hmm. to get your digestion moving. Mm-hmm. Do some stretching, do some deep breathing, like do some physical stuff that will like activate your senses so that you're like enjoying something. For me, tea has always been like when I used to binge drink too, the next day I would make these crazy concoctions with lemon and ginger and turmeric and just all the herbs that I felt were going to help me. And I would take herbs sometimes too. I would take some digestive herbs. I took things to help me lose water weight, which is not the best, but if you are really retaining a lot of water, there are things that could help, like parsley tea, cilantro, ginger, lemon, turmeric, and just certain things that will help you kind of release some of the sodium that comes with binging. But again, if you're binging on sugar, that's a lot different. And that can really cause a lot of the blood sugar ups and downs, which is part of the reason why a lot of my physical issues came to be, I think, is from spike in sugar. And even if it's fruit, you know, just knowing your boundaries and your limits.
Yeah. Gosh, I agreed with so many things that you said. And I just wanted to speak real quick on the, you know, if you binge, like, we're not saying like, now you have to stop forever and ever and ever. Like, it's probably going to happen again if you're in the process of recovery. But just what I tell people all the time is, in my experience, is like, it gets better one day at a time, so long that you put your next foot forward and that you have your hand in the recovery pot. I think it was like Oprah that said, a mustard seed of willingness will grow into like a field of, you know, literally a field of flowers, mustard seed flowers, and then you have billions and billions of mustard seeds. So like that little bit of willingness can change everything. So if you, and then it, like I was saying, like with the ocean, if you just imagine when you have your binge, let's say you have a binge or you've just had a binge, just remember, like when there's waves crashing on an ocean, eventually those waves fizzle out, but each wave has to come and crash, coming, and eventually it gets better and better. Maybe like you said, you didn't, it went like your purging went from like 4 days to 2 days to 1 day to no days. And I've watched people in my life that like, I have a really close friend of mine. I mean, it was like really bad. And I've watched her now come out of that, completely recover. And she's getting married. She's getting ready to like start having babies, completely changed her body. But I remember the days where she would, I did it again. And like, it went from every day to 2 days, to 3 days, to 1 day. And that's what it was like for me too, with my binging. My binging did not stop on March, 2011. I can't even tell you where it stopped because I'm trying to think right now. I don't know when it stopped, but it's been multiple years. I just can't tell you exactly when. It just, one day was the last day. And it was probably right. Sometime in 2017.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Do you have days where you, it's not a binge, but you feel like you overate? Because that is something that I still go through and many people in binge recovery will go through. Well, was that a binge? What's a binge?
Right.
And, you know, right. Like, okay, I feel like I really ate like a huge, enormous OMAD. Sometimes people will say, well, that was a lot of food. That's a binge. But to me, it's like, well, that's my OMAD. And I don't feel like I was out of control and I don't feel like I've just binged, you know, I just feel a little bit overly stuffed. So what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I think that this comes back to the individual. Like for me, I recently, my parents had a party a few months ago and I made something that actually everybody ended up eating all of it. I made a Nepalese dessert made with monk fruit sweetener. And the bowl that I had was a little bit bigger than I would probably have normally had. It was like just a little bit bigger of a bowl. And I started to have those feelings come on of like, oh my gosh, did I just overdo something? That's how sensitive I am to my amounts because I'm so used to eating very sort of proportionately. And I don't know when that, so for me, I wouldn't consider that a binge, but just, I think it's important to note that like something like that is a really good example of like, I could have easily been like, you know what, screw it. I'll just eat the whole thing. It's sugar-free. It's pretty much like a animal base, like whatever, there's nothing in it. It's got great saturated fat. Like I'm just going to polish it off. And I had that thought. But because those thoughts are so quiet now in my head, instead, I chose to just say, you know what, you had what you had. But to me, it could have easily felt like a binge because it was just the way that it felt in my tummy. And I think that's like you're saying, some people can look at OMAD and be like, oh, that's just feasting and fasting and binging and whatever. But what is it to you? Do you feel safe with it? And so for me, it was like, oh, wait, I only had this much. And going back to sort of, I've done a lot of work around reparenting in the way that I talk to myself. So like my parental internal voice is a very sort of, oh, honey, it's okay. That was nothing. It was just a little bit larger of a bowl. I know you're feeling that feeling right now. I know that sounds really cheesy, but like I've done so much work around this. And that is now my instinctual way of responding to myself. And so it was like, okay. And I think that's important to acknowledge too, is how we're, and I often say this with my clients when they do their food, I see a lot of people with eating disorders and stuff when they do their, I'm like, what are you thinking when you're eating? Like you have to write down like in your little pamphlet, I have like, what were your thoughts when you had that meal? Because I think that
like while you're actually eating,
Yeah. And then after you're eating, like, what were you thinking? Like, what were your th and so typically people are rushing through and they're like, I just got to get this through. And they're thinking, like, is this going to make me fat or I'm fat or whatever? Just like typical, like really typical basic stuff. People that don't even have eating disorders, they're worried about the food and is it making them fat? And they're not like peaceful and connected with their food. So there's a lot of like, I think when it comes to like what you think around what is a binge and what is not a binge is what feels safe in your body and how you respond to that. So like for me, I just did a post today on like safe foods and like when I eat sugar and carbohydrate laden food, I'm talking even sweet potatoes, you guys. It doesn't, it's anxiety producing. I get heart palpitations. I can't find my way through my higher self, my parental voice. I can't find her. It's like I'm lost back in this 16-year-old crazy, like, oh my God, I like anxiety
Do you
comes
think
up.
any you've said that you think it's a reaction, like a physical and mental reaction to the starch and like the carbs and like it trans and gluconeogenesis and it turning into sugar? Like that's a legit thing.
Well,
Like
yeah,
you're
so
some people's bodies can only handle so much glucose.
right. Well, and so gluconeogenesis comes from when you eat too much protein without carbohydrates, but like carbohydrates in general for me, and I'm always someone who says test, don't guess. I literally have tested my body. It was an accident the way that it came about, but I had eaten too much sugar and too much carbohydrate one day at work. And I blacked out. I went to the doctor and they literally said to me, did you drink a pint of vodka last night? And I've been sober 6 years. I think I tell this story all the time, but she was like, well, that sugar has the same reaction in your body as alcohol. That's how. So for
Right.
me, I have a physical manifestation of an allergy, like an alcoholic to sugar and carbohydrate. Even sweet potatoes, even bananas, even I've tried them all. Over these last 16 years, I've tried them all. And then I have to become rigorously honest with myself. Is this a binge? And like, so when I get rigorously honest about that bull, it was like, is it? And sometimes I can't navigate through these thoughts. That's when I call someone. That's when I'm like on my phone with my therapist, or I'm on the phone with someone for my programs, on the phone being, I need some help navigating through this emotional disturbance. My head is telling me that this was too much and that maybe this would be considered, a binge or whatnot. And I don't want to use that bowl as an example because that was more of a parental, but like, maybe just if I went out to eat and I ate a little bit too much or whatever, just navigating through emotional disturbance, and like, what is that?
How to reframe it too. Like, okay, write down what you just ate and look at it.
Yeah, that's a
Because
really
like
good thing to do.
I know I've written down before. I mean, I do a food journal type thing in my iPhone notes. But I've written down before, like when I have a binge and I'm like, wow, yeah. So write down what you ate when you think you binged, and it's probably not a binge. And also, I know we're running like close to time. I don't know when you have your next appointment, but I wanted to just say, like for sugar cravings, people in the carnivore and keto space say that fat can really help with sugar craving. So what I've been doing is making a fatty tea at night with butter or ghee and full fat coconut milk, and making like a bedtime tea with that in it. And literally, like I'll drink that and I'll sip that, and I am not hungry after that. And my sleep is better too. Like I won't wake up at 4 in the morning with that cortisol spike glucose thing that everybody talks about, which can trigger nighttime, night eating syndrome. So having more fat, just increasing your fat is something so easy that everybody can do, and it helps with hormones, it helps with cravings. Another thing that has helped me, I've listened to a lot of podcasts about binging. There's one podcast called Unsweetened CEO, and she's like a binge eating expert and sugar and flour free and stuff like that. And she said that to get through her binging and change that behavior, she would say, I don't do that anymore. Like having these phrases kind of that like snap you out of it almost, like having these rituals, like, okay, I'm turning off the lights in the kitchen. I'm leaving the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Kitchen's closed.
Yep.
Or I don't do that anymore. Or I don't eat past midnight anymore for people mm-hmm. who are struggling with nighttime eating. For me, I eat late at night and it's fine with me, but there's a set rule that I try to set myself. I'm not going to eat anything heavy, like past 11:30. I know that's really late for some people. But for me, that's just mm-hmm. where I'm at. And, yep. Or you can say when you're looking at foods that trigger you or cause a binge, that's just not my food anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my food. I just don't eat that food anymore. Mm-hmm. I eat this. So again, remembering your why and remembering that you can have food later. Like, this isn't the last time you're going to get the opportunity to eat, because I know for me, like, I will eat like a huge, enormous salad. And I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, I can literally just have like half of this, see how I feel. And then later I can have something else and maybe I'll want something different later. But if I overeat this salad, then, you know, I might still be hungry after because it didn't satisfy me, but I'm so full that, like, you know, that's going to make me feel like I want to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
So like really having those sensations in your body and knowing.
Yeah, I think that my biggest tips would be for the holiday season. First of all, the fat situation. I never, ever, first of all, I was afraid of fat. I was one of those fat free. I grew up in the, you know, I was in high school in the 90s. So it was like fat free, all fat free, and grew up in the 80s and everything was fat free. And so,
mm-hmm.
I was terrified of fat until I found keto and I saw what eating low carb, high fat could do. And then once I went strict carnivore for gut healing purposes to figure out like which veggies were causing me issues, I always typically have a coach that I work with. I think coaches should have coaches. And so I always have someone that I work with. And so at the time, this person was really, you know, getting my fat higher and higher. And when I do track, I track with a professional because that's just something I have to do because I don't know what I'm capable of if I start into a behavior that I don't typically do, because tracking was something I did for years. So anyway, the high fat thing really, like, I remember the day that I think I hit the threshold of like what was enough fat for me. And I was like, the sugar cravings are gone. Like, to the point where I didn't even care about putting like monk fruit sweetener or stevia in, which are things that I, again, have boundaries with. So I eat them those are my boundaried foods, stevia and monk fruit. I have very, very specific boundaries on when I have those. But so having boundaries with like making a red light, yellow light, green light list before you go into the holiday season, knowing what your trigger foods are and looking at this yellow light list and seeing how you can make boundaries with these foods on the holidays. And like taking actions and kind of playing out the scenario of what your holidays, it like for typically, you know, people know what they're doing. They know they're going to certain family members. It's kind of the same drill every year. And also have a plan of what you know, when someone might say something to you like, oh, well, just have a little tiny bite. It's no big deal. I will say, well, one, I'll say, oh no, it gives me gut issues. You can easily just say, oh no, I'm allergic. People typically will leave you alone. Yeah. Or I'm not hungry. It's just a little bit, but sometimes even I'm not hungry. People will say, just, have a little bit. But when you say I am allergic and, or I have gut, like it affects my stomach, it makes me feel sick. When you say certain things about the way it makes you feel, or that you actually have an allergy, you're allergic, which I think that if you're anything like me and you have sugar addiction or anything, I do think it's an allergy. I think that from what I've seen with my own enzymes, it's an allergy. So having a plan, when Uncle so-and-so is going to like try to force you to, you know, because I come from a family where everyone's like, eat, 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 eat. And now it's been so many years for me with my family, this way of life, nobody says anything to me. Nope. In fact, people are going out and buying the things that they know that I can eat and storing it in the fridge. I don't even have to bring my food anymore. Like,
I probably see how much better you feel you know? Like, if you literally say to somebody, oh, that when I eat that kind of food, I'm on the toilet all night, what are they going to say?
Yep.
Just a little bit. Yep. No, that's literally insane.
Yeah.
And don't even give them an excuse for them to think that you're feeling bad that you can't have that. Mm-hmm. Like, just say, oh, I feel great. I'm good. Thank you. I feel great. You know,
like, and 9 times out of 10, the pusher, the food pusher, or the person who, like, you know, even with alcohol, for me, you know, I've been sober for coming on 16 years. So I've had alcohol pushers on me before too. The person who's pushing it on you is probably someone who's just like you and is triggered by you. And there's that. I've seen that. But also, when you stand up in your truth and you say that, it's a very powerful message to your body. And the way that I have felt afterwards, and it was hard for me. I'm one of those people pleasers. Like, I can't speak up. Like, I've had to learn how to do these things. I would straight go to the bathroom and have to look myself in the mirror. And like, I would, you know, days before, be practicing in the mirror what to say. Like, that's how hard it was for me. And now, like, to be able to stand in my truth and to be able, it's like, I always say, it's like, I am the permission slip for everybody else in that room to be able to stand up for themselves or change their eating style. And like, I'm the healthy one. Like, I'm the healthy one. I'm healthy and I'm eating things that are good for my body. And I think it is triggering to some people, but your actions and what you do when you stand up in what your body needs, it's so powerful. And I didn't even get into the quantum physics of it all because I'm a total quantum physics nerd. But that energy that you're sending out in the morning, just in the morning before, this is one other tip that I have every morning on the holidays, especially because I'm not home. I don't have enough time to do like my whole full morning routine. I do sunrise. I go outside. I'll like do a prayer. But when it gets like crazy, I go up to the bedroom. I sit down on the bed. I just take it a moment to like connect with myself and I'll like breathe. I'll say a prayer. I'll do whatever I need to do. But when you connect to that higher frequency, you are literally affecting this has been studied. There's been a huge study that was done in 1995 and it's been studied ever since. Your energy affects a 2-mile radius around you. So when I go into any, and I've done this for years, when I go into any holiday situation, when I know that it's going to be a place where it's a party and that like I'm unsure of what's going on, I always use that, you know, saying namaste, that may the divine in me connect with all the divinity of these people, not their personalities. May I connect to them from that place of being so authentically myself and that peaceful high frequency. And I just go in there and I try to look deeper past who they are, their personalities, that they have something inside of them that is exactly like me and that we're all connected and that I can affect them through that. I know this is going a little bit too deep in that sense, but like, these are all the tools that I've got, you know, over the past,
Something air, so, like just getting out of your head and connecting to something outside of yourself can kind of snap you out of that. And like going for a walk, getting outside, nobody said you have to be stuck in a holiday gathering for 5 hours. You are an adult. You can leave, you can go take a phone call, you can walk around the block.
Yep.
Sometimes you need those resets. And I guess like the last thing I'll say is that take your time eating, like put your fork down, breathe, see where you're at. And like we both said, and then sometimes what helps is leave the kitchen or leave the eating area and see how you feel. Go to the bathroom, listen to a meditation in the bathroom, listen to a part of something. Like, I always have headphones in, and like having that plan. I mean, we have said it so many different ways. Have a plan. Okay, if there's these foods there, I'm going to allow myself one of that, and I'm going to be done. That's my cap, and then I can reassess later. Mm-hmm. And if I want something later, I can have a fatty tea, or I can have this or that. You know, just. Write it out in your phone and have it in your iPhone notes.
Yeah. Bring your own food, like bring something to share. And One other last tip that I'll say too is something that I'll do is if things like if I start having a thought like, oh, I want another, I still have thoughts where I'm like, oh, I really want another plate of that because I do enjoy my food today. So what I'll do instead is I will be of service. I will clean up the table. I'm like, okay, where can I be useful?
Oh, yeah.
Where can I be useful?
Move your body.
Yeah, I'll move my body. I literally will, like this last weekend, we had the Kumar family soup night. And the next morning I woke up and I had my normal breakfast routine, did my whole normal thing. And the kitchen looked like a tornado. I literally cleaned the whole entire kitchen. I put everything away. It was my husband came downstairs all clean and we just moved the tables back. And when my in-laws got up, they're like, whoa. And I was like, because I actually felt like I needed to move some of the energy from the night before of wanting more.
Right.
And so I was okay, let's be of service. It will. And then when you're, and like, what do they say? They say that if you want esteem, do esteemable acts. And like, that is something that was really helpful for, you know, my lovely in-laws who are just so amazing. And they had this wonderful party and it was so wonderful of them to throw and host all these amazing, delightful human beings. And I was like, you know what, I can do this. And I wanted to, but I also knew that at that time, because of the night before, I still felt some of that energy of like, oh, I really want something, something, something. So that helped.
Right.
That was helpful.
And then like, when you do that movement and that shift and that you're doing, you're cleaning, you delayed. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that, and even if you do want something else, you can have a plan for that too. Like, okay, even if I still want something after the delayed action and all doing all these things, have a tea, like make a hot beverage with fat in it. I promise you guys it will help.
Yeah, it does. That helps a lot. Or what I'll say is you can have it with your lunch. I often will be like, okay, you really want that? Just have another plate of that tomorrow. And typically when that tomorrow comes, I don't even want that anymore. But like, I always tell, I mean, I did this from when I got sober. You can have a drink tomorrow. You can eat that cake tomorrow. And I would sometimes be sitting on my hands and like rocking back and forth because I mean, with sugar more than alcohol, I had a lot of that, but yeah. So
one day at a time, you guys.
Yep.
That's all you can do.
And you can do it. Like if we can do it, you can totally do it. Cause I'm a bottom of the barrel. That's how I roll.
I was too. So we hope that all of these things have helped you. And in my podcast episode, I'm going to put some of these show notes and my notes in there. And I'm going to put a link to all the free eating disorder meetings as well, because if I say it out loud, you guys won't even know what I'm talking about. So I'll put those links in there too. And we hope that you guys have a really awesome holiday. Don't stress. Try to just, you know, move through it with grace and have some compassion for yourself too.
Yeah. Be super gentle with yourself. It's possible.